Planning Commission, the number that you're planning.
260.
You're number 260.
Good morning, one and all. So thankful to be in the house of the Lord together and to worship Him in truth and spirit and be all together again. And our guests, please, I forgot your names from last time you visited. Could you, introduce yourself and bring greetings?
Greetings from Westonbrook, Toronto. I'm Amelia Shapiro.
Right, thank you. Yeah. Comes with age, I think, but it wasn't that long ago you were here, but welcome again. So thankful you're here. Nicole, Jonathan, so thankful that you're here. They'll be heading home Saturday. Yeah, this coming Saturday. So just thank the Lord for your visit. It's been such a joy and also a big help. Good to see Bruce again. So welcome. Glad that God has given you safety on your travels. And don't want to miss anyone, but thankful to be here in God's house. Welcome to those on Zoom as well this morning. Any greetings or other greetings that were not mentioned?
So, greetings to Brother Willie Kurtz, who called me yesterday. He asked us to extend the greetings to the church.
Great. Greetings from Brother Willie.
And Janet and I are going to Syracuse next weekend.
This next weekend.
We want to take the church's greetings.
Please do. And safe travels there. Love and greetings to our loved ones there in Syracuse. I have a thank you note from Max Ebley. If you remember, Max and his dear little children lost his wife and their mother tragically not that long ago. And he is responded with a very nice thank you note. Thank you for all your prayers and support. It means a lot to know the body of Christ is loving and caring for me and one another. I included a link to Christie's celebration of life. With God's help and with little courage, I was able to give the eulogy. So little slips of paper, I'm going to put them on the back table. So if you would like to, and also included in the email coming up this week for everyone. So if you don't happen to pick up the slip, then it'll be in the email. God was glorified, Christie honored, and many blessed who were able to attend. Last week, I and the kids were in Kitchener, Ontario, Strasburg Road for their VBS week. Maybe we can visit New Jersey one day. I've never been there. May God grow your faith and protect you. Love, Max, Luke, Leora, and I think it says Larry. So very nice note and a reminder to continue to keep that dear little family in prayer with the challenges ahead. Just a note for those who knew her, Sister Betty Weinhart, who's the wife of our late elder brother Conrad, passed away this past week. So let's keep the family in prayer. Today, we'll have a prayer service following lunch. I'm going to try again what we did last time, and that is I'm going to ask each person who's attending our prayer service to please give thought and prayer to a prayer request. So we'll do one from each person, put them on the board, and then we'll ask for prayer for those. Next Sunday will be our collection for the New Hope Pregnancy Center. So remember New Hope and their needs coming up. And as we've been doing now in the last few weeks is just a window, 6-week window of what's coming up. Remember, September 11 will be our resumption of midweek Bible study, and we'll have a guest, Brother Fred Weinhart, and his son will be with us. And I believe Brother Fred is going to be teaching that evening. Also, this is new. Mark it down, please. Saturday, the 14th. So the following Saturday will be our second clothing swap. That's a Saturday, and so we're going to do it from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Please, please, please put that on the calendar. And then for those inclined to travel, we have September 22nd, Ontario Sing in Windsor. And again, remember that the weekend of September 28, 29 will be the foundation trustee meeting here in our church. And we still have housing needs. Brother Harry, is there still a list available? Okay, so we do have that list available. Please see Brother Harry, or it'll be available to you in the back if you'd like to sign up. Please do so. And then October 5th and 6th is the fall outing, and our very own Brother Phil will be the guest speaker down at the beautiful Skyline Drive. I'm sorry, the following week. It's not the 5th and 6th. Oh, yes, it does say that here. I just, my arrow was mixed up. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, thank you. 5th and 6th is Syracuse. Skyline Drive is the 13th. We attended that many years. It's such a blessed occasion, especially if the weather's good, because the colors are so wonderful, the fall colors. Also, real quickly, we will have a card for Uncle Joe Kurtz in the back. He's going to be celebrating his birthday on September 12th. Do we know what number it is, Mom? I can't remember. 94. That sounds right. Yeah, 94. So let's cheer him up with a birthday card. Anything else I may have forgotten? No? All right. Well, please keep Brother Phil in prayer as he divides God's word to us and to gather our thoughts and our hearts to the Lord. Let's sing Jesus, Blessed Friend of and Savior. It's in our Zion's Harp number 28. And I'd like to sing us to sing verses 1, 2, and 4. That's hymn number 28, 1, 2, and 4. Thank you.
Good morning, all. Welcome. Let's begin this service with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for your presence with us. For without it, we gather in vain, Lord. We know that you have promised where two and three are gathered, you will be in our midst, and we trust and know that you are with this gathering, and your Spirit is here. We pray that your Spirit would be the teacher this morning, that he would inspire and open the ears and the hearts of those who hear to see their need and to see their need of you and their need of change, of what you would have them change. You would have us change. You would have me change. To be drawn closer to the image of you, Lord Jesus, to be more like you, to be more filled with you, and to be more reflective of you to the world outside. We thank you for your love for us, which is infinite. We thank you that you have given your life for us, have given your Spirit, that you have not abandoned us, but live within us, and have given all that we could be redeemed and we can be more and more like you. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for the guests. Pray for those who aren't here this day, who aren't feeling well. Watch over them. Bless them. Bring them back. And pray for those on Zoom that you would bless them. And we pray that the hearing of your word would be the important thing this morning. We love you and we praise you and we thank you. We pray that you would reveal in us where we lack. And may we find wholeness in you and in you alone. We pray all this now and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many times do you think the word patience is in the Bible? The kids had a trivia or a Jeopardy last night. And so for trivia's sake, how many times do you think the word patience is in the Bible? Throw out a number. Huh? Oh, wow. That's a lot. Yeah, in between. 33 times, and all in the New Testament, which is interesting. So the word patient is 9 times, and patiently I'm not sure how many times, but patience itself is only 33 times, which I thought was not that much. Now, we'll talk about it more. Long-suffering is another way of interpreting or saying patient. I didn't look up how many times that is. I should have. I was thinking of it, but I didn't. So I'm sure that was in a lot more times, too. But of those 33 times when the word patience is mentioned, 7 times are in Revelation, which I think is interesting, which is the most of all the books. As I said, it was only in the New Testament. And mostly, or not mostly, but the largest number in Revelation, which is interesting because we need patience as we await for those things that are to be fulfilled in Revelation. So I thought that was appropriate. Who here struggles with patience? It's interesting. Not all hands went up. I find that interesting. I have people to talk to afterwards. Does it seem patience is worse or more difficult today than ever? Of course, today we get everything we need instantaneously. We order something, it's at our doorstep the next day. Mail is there instantaneously because it's via email. We can talk to anyone and have access to anything instantaneously. The days of sending mail and waiting, we're going to send a card to Joe Kurtz in Canada. Hopefully it gets there in 12 days for his birthday, because regular mail can be completely unreliable and can be completely slow. But the rest of our lives seem instantaneously, we get everything we want. Information at our fingertips at all times. We aren't used to waiting, and therefore it seems to be less and less a need for being patient. About 40 years ago, there was a song I'll read to you called Instant Breakfast. And again, this is 40 years ago. Imagine how much more today. Instant breakfast, instant life. Anything easy, because that's what we like. Fast food places and banks with no lines. Anything easy, that will do fine. Microwave oven, mom's dream come true. Put it on credit and take it with you. Drive-through car wash, only $2.98. Very convenient, the American way. Polaroid cameras, remote garage doors, instant coffee, Kmart stores. Avon ladies right at your door. Home computers, who could want more? And here's the crux of it. Instant Christian, changed overnight. Anything easy, because that's what we like. Help me grow, Lord. Show me how. Give me the patience. I want it now. So does all this instant access, all this rush and quick stuff that we have, mean that patience is an outdated virtue? We almost don't need patience anymore because we have access to everything instantaneously. Like, who really needs patience anymore? Is that the case? Obviously, that's not the case. Obviously, there's not everything in life that's instantaneously. There's waiting for things, waiting for test results, waiting for a diagnosis for something, waiting for a response from someone else, waiting for someone to get out of my way as I'm driving, waiting for events and people, waiting for an answer from God, waiting for Christ's return. We need patience in all aspects of our life. We may think it's not as crucial as it once was, but it really is in everything. If you think about any relationship with someone, any relationship, any aspect of life, there's a portion of waiting, a portion of what you do until something comes to fruition, how that time is spent, the attitude, the feelings we have while it's going on. It's super important. Patience is, this is one definition, the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. I'll read it again. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting upset or angry. Or better stated and briefly, it's not the ability to wait, but how you act while you're waiting. How you act while you're waiting. I'd like to read, I'm going to have numerous scriptures, but we'll start out, and our main text is going to be James 5. James 5, starting with verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable... I'm reading from the NIV. My bad. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one another, one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. James here is speaking to the believers who are, it seems, perhaps becoming impatient, waiting for the Lord to return. I find that interesting because they were so near the time of his departure and they were anxiously awaiting and needed to be commended and encouraged to patiently wait for his return. Nowadays, I feel many of us are not as anxious as they were then, desirous for his return as they are then. We seem far too comfortable in our own lives that we are not anxious like they were then. And perhaps I'm speaking mostly for myself, but I think the church in general has lost that view of he is coming back to redeem his own and to bring us into glory. And then all these things will pass away. He talks about the farmer, how the farmer sows the seed and waits. I mean, from spring to fall is quite a few months, and he waits for the harvest to come. And the thing of it is, that period of waiting, what do we do in the waiting? As I said, what you do while you're waiting, how you act, what your mindset is. The farmer is not idle while he's waiting for the harvest to come. He's planted the seed and he's not, you know, doing nothing. He's weeding, he's watering, he's tending to his crop. He's working. And so the attitude of being responsible as we wait, and as Christ's return is imminent, more so now than then, we should be waiting in the same way, active in his vineyard, desirous to serve him, desirous to reflect him, desirous to please him in our actions, in our daily walk. The two words, like I said, I'm not going to try and say them. There's two Greek words for patience. One is more along the long suffering, and one is more along the line set of patience and endurance. And Job, he gives the example of Job being one who was patient, and imagine the patience of Job. Imagine the endurance of Job, who trusted that God, you have given and you have taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when we say taken, it's not like he lost something small. He lost everything, including his own health, including his family. The patience of Job, the endurance, the trusting. It's not, and it's that attitude of patience where God, I need to be patient in whatever aspect you're calling me to, because I know that you are in charge. You are in control and you have all of this planned out. I trust that. I know that. And then we can have patience, true patience, knowing that I'm leaving it in your hands. Joseph is another one who I think of, who endured much and had much patience and trust in God when he was thrown into the well by his brothers and then sold into slavery and then worked his way into a position in Potiphar's house and then was accused of terribleness and thrown into prison and back and forth like, God, I see your hand in this, and we wait, God, now I'm back to in a worse condition. I'm in a prison. I don't get it, but I trust you, God. And whatever you call out to me to do, I will do. I'll be faithful in my stewardship in the prison. So much so that the guards noticed and he was given a position of leadership there and then eventually came to the king. And even then, when he revealed the two dreams And he said, remember me when you go back. And the, I forget, it was the butler, the two guys, which one went back? The cupbearer went back, and he was okay. And he didn't remember, and Joseph is still in that prison, thinking, I told you, cupbearer, you'd be okay, and I'm waiting to hear from you, and let this work out. And no, not until the dream of the king. And then the cupbearer is like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Not the king, Pharaoh. But evidence of living proper lives, living godly lives, living obedient lives, living faithful lives, even when things are not going our way, not going the way we want, the way we think they should. Why is patience important? First of all, it's our frame of mind. It's that, where are we focused on? Am I focused on me and my walk and my pleasure and my desires, my wishes, my expectations? Or, like those examples, do I trust God that despite, even when things are horrifically wrong, God, I trust you. That this too shall pass, whether in this life or the next. I trust you. I have patience. I know that you are in charge. Another reason is it's an example to others. We are being observed as believers in Jesus. I drive with family members who are very impatient sometimes. Now, when I drive and I'm with them, sometimes they're impatient too, partially with my driving, but partially with things around us too. And I found when I'm driving with my family in the car, I refrain from being impatient. I realize that my example to others is an example that matters. What's interesting, and this is kind of revealing to me, is when I drive alone on my way to work, whatever, I am extremely impatient and vocal in my impatience. And I have some real introspective and learning to do, because I think it points to other aspects, and I'll address this later too, of how sometimes we're aware of those around us and we behave and modify our behavior because we want to be representative of Christ and want to be proper in the things we do. But the true test of how we are inside, in our core, is what we do when we're alone. And you know, I'll yell at people when I'm driving by myself and make faces and do all kinds of things. And I've had instances where I've followed people all the way to work, and then I drive into the garage with them, and I'm like, oh man, I hope I don't park on the same floor as them. And, you know, things can come back where you think it's just me being myself and being vocal, but it is reflective, even if it's not to someone who knows the rest of my life, and so I don't have to worry about giving a true reflection of Christ, because this is the most important thing. This is what reveals to me is God is always watching. God sees everything, and it's not, we shouldn't be patient and loving and all the other aspects, all the other fruits of the Spirit, which we'll read in a minute, which we read this morning already. We shouldn't be those things because we want others to see and we want to represent Christ nicely and properly and represent the truth of who He is. So all those things should be present. It should be for Him that we are loving and kind and patient. Because He is that way. He is loving and kind. and patient, and he wants us to be like him, to be in that, have those characteristics. Those characteristics we should treasure and we should grow in, and they should grow in us. We need patience. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come. He that shall come, will come, and will not tarry." This is kind of in line with the text this morning of in James, that, you know, the promise is coming. The fulfillment is coming. But we need to be patient for that. And then while we're being patient, waiting for Christ either to take us home or to come again, we need to be doing the will of God. Our actions matter. Our hearts matter. Our attitudes matter. And God views them all. In James 1, we learn how patience is produced. James 1, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect or complete and entire, wanting nothing." You know, I've heard it said, be careful if you want patience and you pray for patience, because the result is that God may give you trials and troubles and difficulties. And often we are averse to having trials and troubles in our life. But really, clearly, as Scripture says, these are the things that strengthen us, ground us, bring us to the foundation of who we rely on, which is God alone, and trust in Him and Him alone. And the circumstances that we deal with, whether they be extremely difficult or mildly difficult, all of it should bring us to that point of trusting and growing in patience, knowing that He is the fulfiller of all. In Galatians 5, we read it earlier when we read in Bible class. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering," a.k.a. patience, "gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Interesting terminology, the way he's says it here, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not a gift. We have the gifts of the Spirit that we read about in Scripture. This is the fruit. And as we talked about already, the farmer is waiting for that fruit. He's not doing nothing. He is enduring. He is working, is striving, is in God's Word, is in prayer, is in communion with God, is growing. Growing is what brings out the fruit. Growth. If there's no growth, we can see there's no fruit. We need to grow with the Spirit indwelling in us, changing us, making us new, changing us, conforming us to the image of Jesus. It's a growth in patience and all those other characteristics which are the fruits of the Spirit. In the First Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, the very first description when he starts talking about love is, or charity is, the first one is, charity suffereth long. Charity is patience. Patience is charity. Patience is a fruit that grows in us as the Spirit fills us and represents Christ through us. It's an attitude of God's love in us. And it grows via trials and temptations which we go through with the Spirit's strength. It's a combination of that love of Christ in us. It's a combination of growing with the Spirit. It's a combination of experiencing trials and struggles and difficulties and finding the patience as a result of that. Christ Himself is an example of patience. He endured more than even Job did, and more than Joseph did, and more than anyone did, in His perfectness, enduring the trials and struggles of the crucifixion and then bearing our sin on Himself. He was patient with His disciples. He told them, firstly, He gave some clues, you know, and the temple will be torn down in 3 days, it'll rise again. He gave some picture narrative of what was going to happen. And then near the end, He said, listen, guys, I'm going to die and rise again. And they just didn't get it. And He lovingly was patient with them, despite laying it out, because their understanding, they couldn't grasp what He was saying. They couldn't understand, and so they didn't believe. We are still called today to believe things that we don't always understand. And thankfully, Christ is still patient with us as we are studying and understanding His Word better and understanding Him better. He is still patient with us, as He was with His disciples. Jesus is patiently waiting, even now. Even now, He's patiently waiting at the Father's right hand, waiting to come and redeem His church. God is patient with us too. He has every right to punish us instantaneously. The perfect, holy God who sees and knows all and knows every aspect of sin that we do, that we think, that is in our heart, has every right to punish instantaneously and to clean the slate of us. And He patiently waits. All our thoughts, all our actions, everything that we think is good that we do, unless it's done by the Spirit, is sin. Isaiah says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. We dare not think that anything that we do is of goodness, that is God appreciative or deserving of salvation, or deserving of a reward. He has patience with us, and through Jesus covers our sin. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack or slow concerning His promise, as some men count slackness or slowness, but is long-suffering, is patient to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is why He hasn't come yet. There is more that He wants to redeem. Those out there that He is still calling and wants to redeem. We should thank God for His patience in dealing with us. But we should not mistake His patience as ignoring or overlooking sin. There's a key verse that I was studying that I kind of want to talk about. It was almost to a sidetrack. In when Paul is in Athens speaking to the intellectuals, and he says, you know, they have an altar to the unknown God. This is who I preach. He is the one who is true and faithful and the creator of all. and makes governments and gives life. And that's who is the God. And he says, but you make idols and stuff to worship. And God winked at that. And I didn't want to go here, but I just find it so interesting. That whole winking at their ignorance. He says he winked at their ignorance. He didn't wink at the sin. He winked at their ignorance. Because it wasn't time for all to understand the truth. The law was given to the Israelites, and the rest of the world were in ignorance. And God dealt with them as a part of their knowledge of whatever they understood. But now, Paul says to them, and Paul says to us, and James says to us, now is the time when we know the truth to be thankful for the patience of God, but God will not overlook sin. He will not, you know, wink at sin. His justice via payment or atonement or via punishment will come. So, I just read a checklist of how to live, which reflects Christ, which reflects love, and reflects patience in us. Let's just read this, and this is just a few things. Don't snap at people when they frustrate you. You don't make critical or rude remarks to others. You are not easily angered. You assume the best about others. You don't respond impatiently in stores, at work, or on the road. You are a patient spouse, parent, child, co-worker. You don't become frustrated by the passage of time in any given situation. You don't expect Christians to be perfect. You have patience with their spiritual growth, just as God had patience with you. You have patience at all times and in all situations. And then, when impatience does creep in, be quick to apologize if you respond to anyone in an impatient manner. Have a list of verses on hand about patience, love, kindness, and perseverance to read throughout the day as a refresher. When you're tempted to be frustrated, stop and think of an alternative response rooted in love. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to anoint you to operate in patience. He wants you to have the fruit of His Spirit. I thought of an example in my life some 40 plus years ago. I was in Canada visiting a cousin. I was a young teen, if even a teen, I don't remember. And me and my cousin were at an arcade, I think, or at a mall, maybe a mall and an arcade, they go together. And I recall his mom forgot to pick us up. And we waited on the side of the road. This is days before cell phones. And we waited. And I was annoyed. But I remember when the mom came, this cousin of mine was patient and forgiving with his mother. This has left a reflective... I don't remember much from my youth, but this is one of those memories that I see this brother now as a man who then was already patient and forgiving. It sticks with you. You know, a bad example can stick with you. You see someone impatient, you go, well, I don't want to be like that. But a good example can be as amazing. Something 40 years ago, the patience, when I, in my attitude, I was like, you know, if that was my mom, I would have read her the riot act. I would have, you know, how can you forget me? What's going on? He was patient didn't concern him that his mother had been hours late, and forgiving. It's a good example. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Run with patience. But this cloud of witnesses, we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Clearly, this is talking about the chapter before, Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith, the many examples of faithfulness in the Old Testament, those who endured and were faithful to Christ, to God. But when I read this cloud of witnesses, and that's clearly what this is, the point is of here, that we have those examples for us that we can look at and say, look at those witnesses who were witnesses of faithfulness of God. When I read this cloud of witnesses, sometimes I think of a cloud of witnesses around us. That as we walk, there are witnesses observing our life. There's a cloud of them observing. Are we living life with patience, with love, with all the other fruits of the Spirit, so that those witnesses around us see Christ in us? Are we reflective of Christ? It is super important that we recognize that. But like we heard this morning, Becky said, we have an audience of one. There's only one that really matters. And if we are honest and true and faithful to Him, then we don't have to worry about the reflection we have to those around. It's not about, you know, when I'm with my family in the car, I'm reflecting Christ. And when I'm alone in the car, I'm just an angry, impatient person. I'm not reflective of Christ when I'm alone. And then why am I reflecting Christ when I'm with others? That's fraudulent. That's not true. I'm not being true to my audience of one. We need to be true to the audience of one. Be faithful and honest and pure and right and live for Him and Him alone, to be pleasing in His sight, and then all else will match up and be correct. I think that was such a good point and super important, that pleasing God and being true to His Word and true to Him in our life is first and foremost above all else. Let's conclude by singing hymn 74. Let's sing verses 1 and 7. Thank God for His Word.
indeed thank the Lord for his word today. Thank you, Brother Harry, Brother Phil, for being willing servants of God and also of us, of serving us by imparting unto us the word that the Holy Spirit placed upon your hearts. We're thankful that the word is so relevant, that we've had such practical teachings today that we can really apply beginning right this moment and in the week and weeks ahead that the Lord would give us. Let us pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit to impart unto us that spiritual gift of self-discipline that would then allow us to become more patient in our lives. I recall someone once saying that the definition of long-suffering is having patience with one another, even in the face of our own flaws and imperfections. And when we do all that together at the same time, we have great unity and peace, and the love is outflowing. And that be our lot here today. Thank the Lord again for his word, and let's arise and have a prayer together in closing. Our gracious Heavenly Father, what a joy, what a blessing to be amongst our church family and to gather together on this Sunday morning to honor and glorify and praise your holy name. We just pray that our worship today will have ascended unto thee as a sweet smelling fragrance of incense around thy throne. Father, receive our prayers of praise and thanks today. Receive our hearts as a gift from thee designed for thee, Heavenly Father. We're giving our hearts back to thee that we might ever love thee with all our hearts, souls, and minds, and that we might love one another as the commandment reads. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. May it impact our hearts today. May we be changed people because of it. And we also pray, Lord, not only in this place, but for wherever thy children today worship thee in truth and spirit. Be with each and every one of us here in this assembly room, as well as those on Zoom and those who may be hearing this hereafter, that, Lord, we can be challenged to grow in thee and to serve thee as we serve one another. And we pray also, Lord, a prayer upon our food today. We're thankful that we can gather around tables for fellowship. And we just pray the food would strengthen our bodies. And we unto thy service in Christ's name. Amen.